You would turn now to Ezekiel chapter 25, verses 1 through 17. Ezekiel chapter 25, beginning on page 712 of the Pew Bible. Page 712, Ezekiel chapter 25. This is the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, set your face toward the Ammonites and prophesy against them. Say to the Ammonites, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God, because you said, aha, over my sanctuary when it was profaned, and over the land of Israel when it was made desolate, and over the house of Judah when they went into exile. Therefore, behold, I am handing you over to the people of the east for a possession. And they shall set their encampments among you and make their dwellings in your midst. They shall eat your fruit and they shall drink your milk. I will make Rabbah a pasture for camels and Ammon a fold for flocks. Then you will know that I am the Lord. For thus says the Lord God, because you have clapped your hands and stamped your feet and rejoiced with all the malice within your soul against the land of Israel. Therefore, behold, I have stretched out my hand against you and will hand you over as plunder to the nations. And I will cut you off from the peoples and will make you perish out of the countries. I will destroy you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because Moab and Seir said, behold, the house of Judah is like all the other nations. Therefore, I will lay open the flank of Moab from the cities, from its cities on its frontier, the glory of the country, Beth Jeshimoth, Baal Meon, and Kiriathaim. I will give it along with the Ammonites to the people of the east as a possession, that the Ammonites may be remembered no more among the nations. And I will execute judgments upon Moab. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because Edom acted revengefully against the house of Judah and has grievously offended in taking vengeance on them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will stretch out my hand against Edom and cut off from it man and beast. And I will make it desolate. From Teman even to Dedan, they shall fall by the sword. And I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel, and they shall do in Edom according to my anger and according to my wrath, and they shall know my vengeance, declares the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God, because the Philistines acted revengefully and took vengeance with malice of soul to destroy a never-ending enmity, therefore thus says the Lord God, behold, I will stretch out my hand against the Philistines, and I will cut off the Cherethites and destroy the rest of the seacoast. I will execute great vengeance on them with wrathful rebukes. Then they will know that I am the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon them. This is the word of the Lord. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Vengeance, the punishment of one's enemies. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. It does not belong to us. It belongs to him, for he is the judge of all the earth. And will not the judge of all the earth do what is right? It would be a blessing to have no enemies. But if you belong to the Lord, you must have enemies. For his enemies are your enemies. The kingdom of darkness is your enemy. The world is your enemy. As the world hates the Lord, so also it hates those who belong to the Lord. We cannot have peace with the world and peace with God. We cannot be at home in the world and at home with God. We may strive to live at peace with the world, and we ought to strive to live at peace with the world. But you cannot serve two masters. You must either hate the one and love the other, or love the one and hate the other. When one loves the Lord, when one worships the Lord, he becomes more like the Lord and less like the world. And though the world may boast in diversity, it despises difference and does not like to be disagreed with. And so there is conflict between the people of God and the world. There is conflict between the believer and the unbeliever. And when that conflict arises because of your sin, because of your rudeness, because of your pride, it is your shame. But when it arises because of your faith, because of your hope, because of your love, it is your glory. You will suffer many wrongs from the world. You have already, and there are more to come. And this can lead us to desire revenge upon those who have harmed us, upon those who have wronged us. And while we are called to seek justice, we are never called to seek revenge. You are never called to seek another's harm, however greatly he has harmed you. To say this is to acknowledge that in this world, many wrongs will go unpunished. Many men will escape justice. And to this, we may respond in two ways. On the one hand, our hearts may become embittered, or they may be filled with hope. Hope in the God of vengeance, trusting that he will right every wrong, knowing that many of those wrongs will be our own. In Ezekiel chapter 25, we behold the Lord as the God of all vengeance. And in his vengeance, we see his love for his people. Thus far in the book of Ezekiel, the Lord has spoken many words of judgment against his people. But there have also been words of hope. And in Ezekiel chapter 25, that is what we hear. We hear words of hope. How is that possible? How is it possible to hear words of hope and words of vengeance? It is possible because the Lord will avenge his people, because the Lord loves his people. And so we may say that even his vengeance is motivated by his love. The vengeance of the Lord is motivated by his love of his people. whatever harsh words he speaks against his people, whatever judgments they must suffer, whatever discipline we must endure, his love for us is without end. How often does it seem that God is silent in the midst of suffering? In Ezekiel chapter 25, God is not silent. In Ezekiel chapter 25, he speaks. In Ezekiel chapter 25, he tells us what he will do. Ezekiel chapter 25 is divided into four parts: a prophecy against Ammon, a prophecy against Moab, a prophecy against Edom, and a prophecy against Philistia. These kingdoms were among Israel's enemies. They surrounded Israel and were hostile to Israel. And they fought against Israel and sought to destroy Israel. They perpetrated many wrongs against the people of God, and the people suffered greatly at their hands. But the crimes of these kingdoms that are described for us, they are not identical. There are distinctions between them. The sin of Ammon was not an act of violence against God's people, but an act of rejoicing against God's people. Verse 3, you said, "Aha, over my sanctuary when it was profaned, and over the land of Israel when it was made desolate, and over the house of Judah when they went into exile. You clapped your hands and stamped your feet and rejoiced with all the malice within your soul." What was Ammon's sin? Ammon's sin was its rejoicing in the suffering of God's people. And even though that suffering was their punishment from the Lord, a punishment which they greatly deserved, yet still the Lord finds guilt in Ammon for having rejoiced and exulted in that punishment. In rejoicing against God's people, Ammon rejoiced against the Lord. In rejoicing over the suffering of God's people, Ammon rejoiced over the Lord. For the sanctuary that was destroyed was his. The land that was made desolate was his. The house that was exiled was his. To rejoice against God's people, even when they deserve what they are suffering, to rejoice against God's people is to rejoice against the Lord. And the punishment is severe. I will destroy you. You cannot hate what God loves. And the Lord loves his people. But what was Moab's sin? It is similar to Ammon's in that it was not an act of physical violence against God's people. But while Ammon's sin was rejoicing against God's people, Moab's sin was speaking against God's people. And what was it that Moab said? Verse 8, "Behold, the house of Judah is like all the other nations." And we might not see that as being egregious, but we have to read these words within the larger story of the Old Testament. For what has God said of the house of Judah? Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. You shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, and you shall be to me a holy nation. Israel was not like the other nations. Israel was a holy nation, a nation set apart to the Lord. Israel was a treasured people to the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10, they were the apple of his eye. Moab's words then are slanderous, and they contradict the Lord's own words. To slander God's people is to slander the Lord. To say that Israel was a nation like the other nations was to say that the Lord was a God like the gods of the nations. And so we see again that close union between God and his people. In mocking the people of God, Moab was mocking the Lord. They ought to have mourned the judgment upon Israel. They ought to have seen it as the vindication of the Lord's holiness. But instead, they spoke of it as evidence that the Lord was nothing and his word worthless. And so Moab will learn to fear the Lord when he executes his judgments upon them. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Ammon rejoiced against God's people. Moab spoke against God's people. But now we come to Edom, who raised its hand against God's people, who sought revenge against God's people. The reason for that revenge is not given in our text. So here too, we must read this within the larger story of the Old Testament. For just as Israel was descended from Jacob, Edom was descended from Esau. Jacob and Esau were brothers, the sons of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham, to whom God had promised the land of Canaan. And so we might expect that there would be peace between Israel and Edom on account of their kinship. But when we remember the story of Jacob and Esau, we remember one not of peace, but of strife. For Esau was the older son, but Jacob, through deception, received the blessing of his father and thus inherited the blessing of the land. Edom would have seen the land of Canaan as rightfully theirs, as having been stolen from them. And thus Edom's revenge would have been to take possession of Israel and to rule over it. And one might even be sympathetic to such revenge, as it was against the deception of Jacob. But it was not only that. This act of revenge was also against the will of the Lord. For it was the Lord himself who said of Jacob and Esau, the older shall serve the younger. And again, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Edom's revenge against Israel was revenge against the Lord. Edom's violence against Israel was their raging against the Lord and his purpose. And so, for seeking to exalt themselves over Israel, for their striving against the will of the Lord, Edom must be brought low and suffer his anger. And then there is Philistia. Like Edom, Philistia sought revenge. Philistia sought revenge against Israel, whose land had been given by the Lord to Israel. But Philistia went further than Edom, for Philistia did not only seek to rule over Israel, but to destroy it completely. Verse 15, they took vengeance with malice of soul to destroy and never-ending enmity. Why did Philistia have such malice of soul against Israel? Why was its enmity never-ending? Here again, we must consider this within the larger story of the Old Testament. Here we must look to the beginning of that story. After the fall of man, when God pronounces judgment upon the serpent who had deceived the woman, the Lord says, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. The Lord promises that in this world there will be enmity between the offspring of the serpent and the offspring of the woman. And that distinction is not a physical one, but a spiritual one. The offspring of the woman consists of the people of God. It consists of those who call upon his name. And the offspring of the serpent consists of those who do not, of those who oppose God. The distinction between the offspring of the woman and the offspring of the serpent is the distinction between the church and the world, between the believer and the unbeliever. And this is why there must be enmity between you and the world. Because there is enmity between Satan and the Lord. And you belong to one or to the other. You cannot belong to both. This is why Philistia's enmity toward Israel was never ending. Because the enmity of the serpent and his offspring will never end toward the woman and her offspring. The enmity of the serpent and his offspring is never ending toward the woman and her offspring. And we see that enmity on full display in the sufferings of her offspring. And here I am speaking of that one offspring who is Christ. He was the son of the woman. He was the son of God. The father of those who opposed him was the devil. And when the temple of his body was profaned, when he was scourged and hanged on a tree, what did the world do? They rejoiced in his suffering. They rejoiced over his suffering. And they mocked him, saying of him, he was no different from the rest of mankind. If he is the Christ of God, let him save himself. They reviled him, and they raised their hands against him, seeking to take the kingdom from him. With malice of soul and never-ending enmity, they sought to destroy him. And though his death was their defeat and his victory, still they continue to oppose him and those who by faith are united to him. The enmity of the serpent and his offspring will never end toward him. And so it will never end toward us, for we are one with him. That enmity will only come to an end when the serpent and his offspring are brought to an end, when the Lord at last destroys them and rebukes them in his wrath. But until that day, the church must suffer many tribulations. Until that day, the church must endure hardship. Until that day, the church must be burdened with sorrow. The world rejoices in the suffering of the church. The world mocks her as nothing special, as a fictitious people of a God who isn't there, who doesn't hear her cries, who doesn't see her pain. And so the world thinks nothing of raising its hand against her. And with malice of soul, the world would delight to destroy her. This is what it costs to follow Christ. We cannot love him and the world. We cannot be loved by him and by the world. If you would embrace the love of Christ, you must also embrace the enmity of the world. But do not fear. He has overcome the world. And though they may destroy your body, cannot destroy your soul. And so you need no longer seek revenge, for vengeance belongs to the Lord. He will bring this enmity to an end when he at last rebukes the world in his wrath. And so you are free to love your enemies. You are free to let go of malice. You are free to let go of bitterness. You are free to bless your enemies. You are free to seek their good. You are free to pray that they will find the Lord's forgiveness for their sins against you, just as you have found forgiveness for your sins against him. But even should their enmity remain against you, you can entrust yourselves to the Lord by leaving vengeance to him. For his judgment is perfect, and he will do what is right. The Lord will avenge his people, not because they are blameless, but because they are his. The Lord will avenge you, not because you are sinless, but because he loves you. Your sufferings will last for a little while. His love endures forever. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we ask your blessing upon your word. That we might be willing to accept strife with the world for the sake of communion with you. Lord, we ask that you would strengthen us now, that we might endure to the end. We ask this in the name of your Son. Amen. Let us sing now to the Lord in response to his word, singing together.